Good morning. All right, so for today, and we did this back in at Easter, and it was a lot of fun. So we have another sort of children's-based, adults-based, sort of very family-oriented kind of piece. It's a lot of, it should be good. It's going to be a bit of a mix of meticulous planning, improvisation, and collaboration. Okay, so I'll tell you the parts that you need to play. All of the actors and children, my actors that I've talked to ahead of time, can you guys please come up to the front row? And I do have room for two more parts if there's two other kids that I haven't yet talked to decide, hey, I want to randomly volunteer. If not, we'll make it work. Okay? All right. So on Thanksgiving, of course, we're thinking about thankfulness. Now, in real life, it can be hard to take the time to show gratitude, especially when things aren't going your way. Sometimes we just don't feel like being thankful. Sometimes it's hard to find something to be grateful for. But you know what? This isn't really a new problem. Even back when the books in the Bible were being written, people had a hard time always being thankful. The Apostle Paul noticed this, and so he wrote a letter to the believers in Thessalonica. So let's listen to what he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He said, "Give thanks no matter what happens. God wants you to thank him because you believe in Christ Jesus." Give thanks no matter what happens? That's not exactly easy, is it? I mean, when your mom hands you a big piece of cake, or you get a good grade on your test, well, that's easy to be thankful for. But every day isn't full of cake and good grades. So how are we supposed to give thanks no matter what? Now, I've got a great story to read to you today about someone who had to figure this out too. It's not a true story, but it could happen. All of us have probably had days like this. Now, our story is called Nigel and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good Day. I'm going to need your help. That's the improvisation part. Now, before my actors come up, we need to look at the collaborative part. So, this is your job in here. Every time you hear the word terrible, I want you to give a thumbs down. Right? Thumbs down for terrible. All right. Every time you hear the word horrible, I want you to pretend you're crying. Excellent, excellent, excellent. When you hear the word no good, okay, it does a fair bit of, when you hear the word no good, I want you to put your feet out in front of you and stomp them. All right. Excellent. And when you hear the words very bad, I want you to shout, boo. Awesome. Okay, so let's practice. Are we ready? Okay, so horrible. Terrible. Nice. No good. Very bad. Right. You guys are great. Wow, and we have the emphasis here as well. Now there's one more. Every time you hear the word thank or thanks, I want you to quickly clap three times. All right, one more time, thanks. Awesome, thanks. Okay, I think you've got it. So let's read about Nigel's day. Now, can we have Nigel come up to the front, please? Okay. Once there was a man named Nigel Small. He greeted every day with a grin that showed his gleaming, pearly white teeth. I think we need Nigel. Hello, world, he would call out. One morning, he sat down to his favorite breakfast of cereal and bacon. As always, he studied the back of his fig and honey puff cereal box, which carried a verse from the Bible. Aha, he noted, a verse from God's word. Give thanks. No matter what happens, God wants you to thank him because you believe in Christ Jesus. He considered the idea for a brief moment. Give thanks? Of course, my life is perfect. Everything from the tips of my polished leather boots to my perfectly parted hair. Whistling, Nigel grabbed a leaf rake from his garage and burst out into the crisp fall day. He surveyed the deep blanket of leaves across his lawn. It won't take more than a few minutes to rake these up, he said. Then it's off to the movies with Theo and Bert. But in a moment, bitter wind whipped up. The more Nigel raked, the more the wind flung the leaves about and swirled them into tiny tornadoes. By the time Nigel had wrangled the leaves into a pile, it was too late to join his friends at the movies. Pears and polish, he grumbled. What a terrible day. Nigel reached into his pocket for his phone. I will tell Theo that I will miss the movies, but I will most certainly join them for pumpkin cheesecake afterward. Unfortunately, Nigel's phone was not in his pocket. It was at the bottom of the pile of leaves. So, reluctantly, he dug through the leaves to find his phone. By the time he found the phone, it was completely dead. The wet leaves had killed it, and when Nigel wrapped his hand tightly around it in a rage, he felt a sharp pain. A clinging spider had bitten him. Ow! He shrieked. Apples and eggnog. What a terrible, horrible day. The bite was already swelling up, so Nigel drove to the doctor's office. He glared at the nurse. If I have to wait for more than two minutes, I shall be extremely put out, he muttered. Not to worry, the nurse assured him. We have all sorts of lovely things for you to read. Well, 2 hours later, Nigel was still waiting for the doctor. He had read every copy of the Daily Possum and Cooking with Onions Monthly when the nurse finally called his name. Nigel leapt from his seat and sprinted down the hall. At least his day could get back on track. The doctor seemed to think so, too. We'll have you right as rain in no time, she said in an upbeat voice. Just take this one little pill, 3 times a day. Nigel swallowed a pill and immediately ran to his car. With any luck at all, I'll meet Theo and Bert for dinner at precisely 6 p.m., he declared. Nigel pressed hard down on the accelerator, dreaming of succulent turkey and creamy cheesecake. But in moments, he heard a police siren, and he was forced to pull over. A policeman ambled up to his car. 60 clicks in a school zone, the cop chided. That'll cost you $200. Let's see your license. Nigel fumed as the policeman wrote his speeding ticket. Grapes and gristle, he nearly shouted. What a terrible, horrible, no good day. At last, the policeman sent Nigel on his way. It was now 6:17, but there would still be time for a mouth-watering dinner. At the restaurant, his friends had already ordered. So we need Theo and Bert. Come on up. Bert spoke up first. You look like you've been chased by a leaf tornado, matey. And bitten by a spider, Theo added. Nigel could feel his blood pressure rising, which is why I need a good dinner now, he hissed. Just then, the waiter showed up with a juicy turkey on a heavy platter, surrounded by juicy buttery potatoes and green beans. Happy Thanksgiving dinner, fellas. Theo and Bert both bowed their heads to offer thanks for the food, but Nigel was much too anxious for the first wonderful bite. This will make everything worth it, he murmured. Nigel placed the perfect bite of savory turkey into his mouth, but instead of chewing, he spat it right back out. Ew, he screeched. This tastes like old tire rubber and roofing nails. Theo picked up the bottle of pills that Nigel had rolled under his chair. Are these your spider bite pills, he asked. Nigel read the label over Theo's shoulder. Says side effects may make all food taste like old tire rubber and roofing nails. Nigel nearly sobbed into his mashed potatoes. Oranges and orangutans, he moaned. What a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. After the meal, the friends took their chocolate chip pumpkin cheesecake back to Nigel's house for dessert. I can't taste this, Nigel sighed. I might as well eat some more fig and honey puffs. He tugged the box out of the cupboard, and there on the back were the words he'd read that very morning. Give thanks. No matter what happens, he recalled. Bert shook his head. Don't know about that, matey. Not right after the day you've had, Theo agreed. But Nigel was still staring at the box. No, I think just maybe that's the point. He glanced up at his friends, smiling for the first time since that morning. After all, I have a yard to rake. I have a phone that can be fixed. My doctor gave me pills to make me better. We have policemen to keep us safe. And I have 2 excellent friends to cheer me up. Nigel's friends exchanged amazed glances. Well, dash it, if that ain't true, Bert said. Spot on, my friend, Theo added. It took a few days for Nigel's bacon and cereal to stop tasting like rubber and iron. But even so, he found something new to be grateful for every single morning, no matter what happened. Well, that was quite a day that Nigel had. I've never been bitten by a spider and had to take pills that make my food taste like rubber and iron, but, you know, I've certainly had a bad day, and I know we've all had bad days, and sometimes even bad weeks. And sometimes it's really, really hard to find something to be thankful for. But if we take time out to look at a situation, we can always find something to be thankful for. It might not be in the situation itself, but maybe in the other things around us. And remember, we have hope in Jesus that allows us to be thankful in the good and the bad. Knowing that Jesus will always be with us and that we can trust God no matter what makes it possible to have gratitude even when times are hard. Right? Remember what happened, what we read earlier? Where Paul wrote, give thanks no matter what happens. God wants you to thank him because you believe in Christ Jesus. Something we always do with the kids is we say our phrase together a couple of times just so that it sticks in our head. And so we're going to ask you guys to do that together. And we're going to say just what it says up here. You always have something to be grateful for. So let's go together. You always have something to be grateful for. Two more times. You always have something to be grateful for. And you always have something to be grateful for. So let's ask God to help us to become people who can always find something to be grateful for. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for being with us on the good days and the bad ones. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us. This beautiful earth, our family and friends, water to drink and food to eat. And most of all, you've given us Jesus to be our Savior. Help us to remember these things, even when life is not going so well. On our worst days, help us to find things we can be thankful for. And help others to see our gratitude and understand that it comes from you. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Now don't worry, don't panic. Look at your watches. I'm not going to preach a full sermon. Rob and I are doing a tag team for the message today. So I'm just going to conclude this morning with a few thoughts. That was quite a difficult day that Nigel had. Spider bites, waiting in emergency, and then eating food that tasted like old tire rubber and roofing nails. Yeah, not so great. How disappointing when you've been looking forward to this delicious dinner. I do wonder, however, how did he know what old tires and roofing nails tasted like? Does seem weird. The message of this story is a good reminder, not only for Thanksgiving Sunday, but for our daily lives. This is how we are called to live. We're to maintain an attitude of gratefulness towards God, not just one day a year, but as a habit for life. And so this morning, I don't want us to just leave and think, oh, that was fun, that was, you know, a cute story, or maybe even thinking, that was just one day. It was just a story. You don't know what my life is like and what I have been through. What's a spider bite compared to living with chronic pain? Dealing with a relationship that has just ended? Or just having lost a loved one? I want to read verse 18 in Thessalonians again, but also point out some other verses around it to understand the context and get a bit of a picture for us. To broaden it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 begins with Paul talking about the Lord coming again. It's a bit of a wake-up call. Look up. Don't forget what is ahead. He reminds them that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. He says, so be on your guard. Stay alert and be clear-headed. He goes on to point out, for God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. And then in verses 16 to 18, he says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful. Christ is coming again. And as we wait, there will be peace and there will be turmoil. And what are we to do? Be prepared. Alert. Encouraging one another, knowing that no matter what happens, God chose to save us through Christ, and we can live with him forever. In this, we can be joyful and give thanks. I've mentioned in the past that our executive minister, Jeremy Bell, sends out something he calls news and notes every week. And here's a portion of what he wrote this past week in regards to Thanksgiving. He said, I have known some households to lay out the entire Thanksgiving dinner, and then some bright spark decides that before we begin to eat and even have a prayer, we will go around the table and ask people what they are thankful for as the food gets progressively colder. It has the effect on me to make me less thankful, not more, and extremely grumpy. He goes on to say, yet there's a place within the conversation around a meal this weekend for thanking God. I love his honesty, trying to express being thankful while the food is sitting there and getting cold, and he finds himself grumpy. Being thankful, what does that mean? It's not Pollyanna thinking, oh, there's no problem, everything is just fine, that you have to be glad for spider bites, for illness, for losses. Paul doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but rather in all circumstances. God is with us in all that transpires. And for that, we can give thanks. If you're here this morning and you are going through a hard time, know that you don't have to be alone, that God walks with you through this. Scripture tells us that God heard the cries of his people and sent Jesus. He reached out to rescue us. In thankfulness, we turn to Christ as the source of life. Not trying to get something or denying difficulties, but seeking him, focusing on God's goodness to us in Christ, thankful for what we have in him. In one of Paul's letters, when he was in prison, he wrote, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. We don't deny what is going on around us, but we look to God, knowing his love and grace in Jesus Christ. With the horrific news of so many brutal killings happening in Iraq, Syria, and around the world, we can be comforted that God knows and God cares about each one of those people. In the midst of the pain, we can give thanks for who God is. One who is gracious, forgiving, caring. One who offers us life with him, life eternal. And that is where we can offer thanksgiving. I want to leave you this morning with another story. And this story is called Burned Biscuits. It's written by Larry Perry. He says, when I was a kid, my mom liked to make breakfast food for dinner every now and then. My kids liked that too. And I remember one night in particular when she had made breakfast after a long, hard day at work. On that evening, so long ago, my mom placed a plate of eggs, sausage, and extremely burned biscuits in front of my dad. I remember waiting to see if anyone noticed. Yet all my dad did was reach for his biscuit, smile at my mom, and ask me how my day was at school. I don't remember what I told him that night, but I do remember watching him smear butter and jelly on that ugly burned biscuit. He ate every bite of that thing, never made a face, nor uttered a word about it. When I got up from the table that evening, I remember hearing my mom apologize to my dad for burning the biscuits. And I'll never forget what he said. Honey, I love burned biscuits every now and then. Later that night, I went to kiss Daddy goodnight, and I asked him if he really liked his biscuits burned. He wrapped me in his arms and said, your mom put in a hard day at work today, and she's really tired. And besides, a little burned biscuit never hurt anyone. As I've grown older, I've thought about that many times. Life is full of imperfect things and imperfect people. I've learned to take the good, the bad, and the ugly parts of life and lay them at the feet of God. Because in the end, he's the only one who will be able to give you a relationship where a burned biscuit isn't a deal breaker. Maybe today you are holding a burned biscuit. Call it for what it is, a burned biscuit, not a melt-in-your-mouth kind of delicacy. But don't let it be a deal-breaker for a life of thankfulness. Look up. Don't forget what is ahead. Live in the truth that Christ has come and will come again, and that we have the privilege of walking with him now and for all eternity. In this there is joy. In this there is thanksgiving. And when burned biscuits come, lay them at God's feet, bringing all to him in prayer. It's here that we really, truly can give thanks, being thankful in all circumstances for him. Let's pray. Lord, I think of a poem where it says, I lift my heart to thee, O God, in gratitude and praise for all thy blessings of the past and those of future days. I thank thee for my faithful friends, for sunshine and the rain, and every blessing hid or seen, though some may come with pain. O God, accept my thanks to thee each time I come to pray, and grant that each day I live will be Thanksgiving Day. We acknowledge, Lord, that those hard days that come our way, and we bring those to you, laying those things at your feet, and Lord, coming to you in prayer. Help us to walk through these times in your grace, looking to you in the midst, looking up, aware that you are with us, that you have rescued us, and will bring us one day to be with you forever. May we live lives truly of thankfulness, trusting you, knowing that you, as a source of hope, will fill us with all joy and peace as we trust our lives to you. This weekend, as we think about it being Thanksgiving, may we truly give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As we conclude this morning, we're going to combine a final song and the benediction. And this is from Romans 15:13, and I have